It's true that I've spent a large part of the last 10 years working with pigs. And I'm going to talk a little bit about pigs today, but I'm not going to try and convince anybody here that they need to become pig breeders. Now, when I started working on putting this talk together, I spent a great deal of time trying to understand exactly what global competitiveness was. Then I came across this statement that Dorian Garrick put into a paper that was actually just published last week. And I thought it encapsulated quite well the topic for this morning. You know, genetic evaluation, we basically take above-average animals and mate them to produce a next generation that has higher performance than their predecessors. And in a world of perfect competition, where consumers are demanding higher quality, or are paying for a higher quality product, there is the idea that along the supply chain that prices will go up, and that means that there will be people along the way that will make money out of that. And from that perspective, it is important for seed stock producers to be developing their breeding programs and selling breeding stock that will help commercial producers along the way to achieve those economic goals. Now, consumers have become very sophisticated. Not so much, they've become sophisticated in what they want to eat, but they've also become sophisticated in their awareness of environmental effects of livestock production, for example, welfare issues and so on. So it's important for geneticists to be able to provide tools that help to address these sorts of production efficiencies and also for innovative use of technologies. In speaking with a colleague of mine, Robert Banks from Australia, I came to realize that a lot of genetic improvement, a lot of competitiveness and use of genetic evaluation is really a lot about information content. And I'm going to spend part of my talk talking about that. And there's two things involved in this information content thing. One is data, okay? One is, what data do we need to make genetic improvement, and how can we utilize that information to optimize all of our inputs into that system? The second has to do with who is going to get those monetary returns from the system as we apply those genetic improvement principles. So I'm going to talk a little bit about both of those. Okay, many of you have probably seen complex sort of step-by-step ways that breeding programs can be described. I've always liked to sort of boil genetic improvement down to three questions. You know, where we are, where we want to go, and all those tools in the middle basically give us an idea of how we're going to get to where we want to go. We've got an enormous toolkit of technologies to use: genetic evaluation and computing. We have performance recording on pure line animals and others. We collect information on commercial crossbred animals. We have pedigree information. We now have more and more genomic information to go into our evaluation. Of course, we're all using selection indexes to make selection decisions, our yardstick of selection, and we utilize mate selection to help help to manage our genetic variation within our herds, as well as maximize our rate of response. In order to be able to utilize all of those tools and make as rapid response as possible, in order to get to reach that goal, we need some sort of a dissemination structure. And I'm not going to go through. Later on, I've got a much more reduced look at what a pyramid, a breeding pyramid, might look like. But, you know, the basic idea is that we make genetic improvement at the top of the pyramid, in the elite or nucleus herds, and the idea is that any payment for value for the investment into that genetic improvement sort of moves back up the chain. I stuck value-based marketing in there as a notion that I think quite often when we think about value-based marketing, we think of it in terms of selling livestock or carcasses that are of some higher quality, and we expect that we'll get paid for that higher quality. I think the same sort of principle could be utilized in terms of selling seed stock, where a producer would be willing to pay more, knowing that they're going to make more genetic improvement. In on the pig side of things, there are some shared risk models around, for example, where it's written into contracts that customers will get boars that are of a specific index value, and they'll get that year in, year out. And all the boars that get sent to them will always have higher indexes than what they had in the past. If the company can't deliver that, they simply don't make as much money as if they can keep on delivering animals of higher genetic merit. So if we now think in terms of how returns can be realized within the production system, and going back to the information content concept, this is basically what we have in terms of seed stock producers performance recording and collecting pedigree information to go into some computer service that could be provided by a breed association or some independent entity to derive EPDs for selection. What this sort of system or this graphic doesn't show is some sort of a breeding objective or a motivation for economic improvement. So there's sort of a closed circle here in terms of motivating both the breeder and the producer for making genetic improvement, as well as the breeder making some income, in proportion to the amount that they've invested in making genetic improvement. So, for example, the commercial producer has to spend money for to buy a bull. The seed stock breeder makes their money out of selling bulls, and there are a number of questions that sort of need to be addressed in terms of if you want to increase your performance recording, it comes at a cost. Will that increase the value of the breeding of the seed stock that's being sold? Will the breeder be motivated to improve if greater income is realized? A lot of it simply has to do with the breeder providing as much information as possible to help their customers, their commercial customers, make the right decisions and assess value. So here's that schematic again, where we've added a profit motive to that, where the seed stock producer has a breeding objective and has communicated with their commercial customers in terms of which traits are important, and they include those in their genetic improvement program. Somebody mentioned to me not too long ago about Francis Bacon saying that knowledge is power. I did actually Google that to find out that Francis Bacon never said that knowledge is power. Anyway, in searching around, I found this quote out of Proverbs of Solomon, which I thought did a really good job of sort of saying that the more information we have, the better decisions we can make. And obviously that is quite appropriate for genetic improvement as well as anything else. The more we know about phenotypes, the more we know about pedigree, the more we know about genotypes, the more power we have to make wise genetic improvement decisions. From my perspective, I see that there are some challenges in making that a reality. Part of it has to do with infrastructure. I know that we'll see a little later, like in the pigs and in poultry, the structure of the genetic improvement program and is quite well defined. We know who the nucleus or the elite breeders are, and we know who multiplies out that genetic improvement. I don't get a sense in many of the beef breeds that there is that good structure, that well-defined structure to make more rapid genetic improvement. Another challenge is how to collect and where to collect and who will collect hard-to-measure information on hard-to-measure traits, and especially traits that are measured late in life. I know there's a lot of work going on in measuring food intake, but things like, you know, more carcass information or taste panel information, health information, lifetime productivity, and so on. And the third challenge has to do with the enormous amount of genomic information that is starting to be collected in the beef industry. To carry on from the genomics perspective, genomics is really going to alter the landscape for genetic improvement in cattle. And I think it's basically going to be in three ways. One is the capability of being able to calibrate models within the populations in which the genomic information is going to be utilized. Another alteration is being able to effectively incorporate genomic information into our genetic evaluation procedures, to integrate that along with our pedigree information and our phenotype information. And lastly has to do with collecting all of the relevant phenotypes that we require to make all of this genomic information work for us. Now, if we look at a much more simplified sort of breeding pyramid, I know I use the term nucleus up there, but you could easily use elite herd there. The multiplication phase would basically be those breeders who are multiplying out the genetics from the elite herds for the sale of AI of natural service bulls, and of course as you move further away from the nucleus, you encounter something that's called genetic lag, which we want to try and minimize as much as possible. That's a measure of how long it takes that genetic improvement from the top of the pyramid to go all the way down to the bottom. In pigs, for example, for some of the products that PIC sells, for example, genetic lag is something on the order of 3 years. I've not been able to find any effective measures of genetic lag in cattle, but I put it somewhere between 6 and 10 years, depending upon how much information there is. If we look at the requirements for the elite breeder, they require lots of measurements to make. They require the capability of collecting carcass information past the use of ultrasound, the capability of being able to measure hard-to-measure traits or traits measured late in life, and also to collect massive amounts of genotyping data. You could turn that balloon around to say, for example, that the elite breeder can't afford to make lots and lots of measurements. They find it very difficult to be able to measure at least carcass traits on breeding animals other than ultrasound. And sometimes you just simply can't wait to measure those hard-to-measure traits or the ones that are measured late in life, and often simply can't afford to collect all of that genotyping information. One way of being able to help to alleviate that is a concept that's kind of picked up in Australia called an information nucleus. And basically, it's a set of performance recorded animals that help to increase accuracy of selection for hard-to-measure traits, calibrating genomic tools, and also helping to improve linkage both within and across breeds. It's basically a very well-structured progeny test. And, young sires are used because the data can basically stays relevant for a longer period of time. Those sires are also elite. From elite herds, they're diverse from the perspective that they're from a wide variety of breeders. The progeny test is executed in a number of different environments, which helps to be able to account for that increased accuracy by accounting for those environmental differences. Obviously, the way that the information nucleus schemes have been structured in Australia, both for dairy and sheep, and recently for beef, there has been an infusion of funds from government levy bodies to help cover the cost of some of these of developing these herds. And of course, you run into the issue of having proprietary information depending upon where your genomic information is coming from, and also the issue of who funds these sorts of programs. I just wanted to throw it out there for thought from the perspective of from a breed perspective, of being able to collect large amounts of information across a breed rather than within a few select herds to sort of spread the costs over a larger number of individuals. So I have to mention a little bit about pigs. This schematic here, I think, well describes how PIC does their genetic improvement. It has a well-defined breeding pyramid. There are two nucleus farms, one in Canada, in Saskatchewan, another one in South Dakota. But, you know, we collect information on our pure lines on every animal in the nucleus farms. We collect lots of genomic information to use mostly through blending for specific kinds of trait panels. When we've identified nucleus boars, we will take semen from those boars and apply them to commercial animals in cooperating herds. So we simultaneously have contemporary purebred and crossbred progeny from these boars on the ground at the same time. We can collect mortality data, carcass data, and so on. And it really does help to increase accuracy of the EBVs that we generate, and also helps to reduce genetic lag. All of our selection is done based on index. There's no selection done based on single traits. There is some selection, of course, done pre-selection based on structure, conformation, and so on. And all of once all of breeding values and indexing is done, we use a mate selection algorithm to help us to choose which boars to mate to which females. From my perspective, the mate selection bit is really the glue that sort of holds this whole genetic improvement program, the whole of the genetic improvement program together. Plus, all of this is in one large database, which we're getting data fed in from all around the world, and it really helps to run this whole thing. Okay, so this is what I think sort of, you know, sorts of things that we need to probably spend a little bit of attention on. One, as I said before, has to do with structure. I know that I said in my paper that it was imperative for U.S. breeds to think about implementing information nucleus schemes. Imperative was really the wrong word to use. It was too strong of a word to use. But I do think that breeds do need to better define who are their elite, who are the elite herds, who are the multipliers, and so on. I think that helps to better define genetic improvement. Another is working out how genomic information is going to be used. Who is going to be genotyped? What's going to be genotyped? What kinds of traits are going to be measured? It also helps to to help to calibrate these training populations. Commercial crossbred information is also going to be very useful, like I said before, in terms of reducing genetic lag, as well as being able to collect carcass information, health information, and so on. The number one here meaning that a move towards a unified database, which across breeds, which I think number one would help to make crossbred information more accessible and more usable, and as well as being able to utilize genomic information better, and finally the notion of at least at the elite level of being able to utilize some sort of mate selection to sort of make genetic improvement and manage genetic variation. So this last slide here sort of represents my nirvana here, where seed stock producers make selections. They'll also go to other seed stock producers to buy animals to bring into their herds. Commercial producers select too. They choose a breeder and will make a selection from that breeder based upon certain performance and economic considerations. The commercial producer is going to be more confident and in spending more money on seed stock if they know that by spending that extra money, in proportion, they're going to make more money. And that's that whole idea behind value-based marketing. So I'll stop there, and thanks for your time.